Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to today's Cyclone Fanatic podcast, the Mr. B Clothing podcast. Of course, a very special edition today, as it is the annual Williams & Bloom Cyclone / College Basketball Preview podcast. Brent Bloom, welcome back to the home office.
The weather sucks, but basketball's here.
Yes. Well, you know that it's a sign of the times.
That's when you know basketball's here and the weather sucks.
I'm okay with it, though. Like, when it generally cold, because I'm a basketball first guy, I always have been, I always will be. So when it hits below freezing, I know that some good stuff's on the way.
Right.
I like winter beers. Like, I like this time of year. I really do.
It's a fair exchange. You know, you can't be outside anymore, but at least if you're inside, you've got hoi ball.
Yes.
To warm the soul.
Warm everybody up.
Yes.
Warm everybody up indeed. You were the first one to come up with the phrase hoi ball.
You know, I don't know if I was the first, but I'd like to think I was on the initial wave. And
I think if you weren't the first, you were the first to really publicize it.
I'll take that. But now they got a t-shirt and everything.
Yeah.
And I don't get any royalties from it.
So that's a bunch of bull roar, if you ask me.
It's a shirt and everything up.
Who's selling it?
Iowa State.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. I'm not.
You market something in the athletic department these days.
I'm not hating the player, you know, but we should have hopped on that before they did.
Hey, big shout out to our sponsor today, Mr. B Clothing, down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. I'm going to go in there later this week. I'm going to get me some of those wool Blazers Bloom for basketball season. The sport jacket.
You and Hines are going to have a competition of who can wardrobe it.
Better. Hines is real classy, man. He goes straight dress pants, shirt, tie every time, and he always pulls it off. I'm a little more cash. I like to do the jeans with boots and whatever I can come up with. But I think Hines has got me covered because he's, like I say, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like last Friday, the exhibition, you know, I usually dress up for basketball games. Exhibition, I like to go a little bit more chill. Hines showed up, tie man, looked sharp.
Already?
Yeah. He was ready to go.
And we lost Dave Z from the media game.
Gone.
So he's usually a well-dressed guy. Will Hall always dressed well.
Everybody's
gone. Everybody's leaving.
Why does everybody leave our market? That must say something about being how much we get paid.
I guess so.
No, but like the Grays, Adam Gray, they're throwing this couple's baby shower for me and my wife. And he's like, hey, give me all your friends. And so I'm like, okay. And I only have like five friends anymore. I'm like, okay, we got Hassel, we got Dave. Wait, huh? So I hope you can come because nobody else will be
there. They're all leaving?
Yeah, everybody. Whoa. You're not going anywhere.
No,
are you?
I'm stuck. I'm right here.
Okay, good. I got a feeling you and I will be drinking beer and podcasting when we're like 60.
Like Bob Brooks.
Yes.
On MediaCom. Well,
I hope that the people still will.
Back in 2014 when Jameel McKay entered the frame.
Well played. All right, so we got a lot to do. We got some questions from Twitter. We want to go through the schedule. What we're going to do is we're going to come up with a consensus final record for Iowa State basketball today. I also took some notes at the exhibition that I wanted to touch on. Where would you like to start of what I just mentioned?
You're the boss, man.
Let's do the notes from the exhibition quickly. I was going to write this piece, but then I thought, you know, I might as well get Bloom's take. Did you watch it? Have you seen it on Cyclone TV?
I watched the replay. I got to see it live.
Okay.
Just driving out of Lawrence.
I want to start with Bryce Dejean Jones. I was trying to, the whole game on Friday, come up with some sort of a comparison, which was very difficult to do. What I came up with, and this is kind of, I don't think this is that accurate, but I think you may be able to draw a little bit to it. Like a bigger, more physical Will Clyburn, but not as Will was a fairly finesse-type player. I don't see Bryce being that way. I'm trying to come up with an Iowa State guy, keep in mind.
Yeah.
Somebody for some folks who have not seen him, how would you go with
that? You know, Clyburn rebounded pretty well. I think that's not bad.
Bryce has so much more bulk to his body.
Right. I would say a very rich man's Chris Allen is what I would go with.
You know, okay.
Chris could score.
Okay, yeah.
But Bryce's bigger. He's more
physical.
Chris
was a better shooter,
Chris
I think,
was a better,
than Bryce.
That's close. Chris shot at probably, 38%, 39%? I think Dejean Jones can do that. He's a classic two-guard, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he's your ideal two-guard.
The one word I could come up with was smooth.
He is smooth, very smooth, comfortable with the ball, probably more comfortable than I thought he would be, and just a tremendous athlete. what we saw, I think, most impressive about him, we know he can score. He scored at UNLV, and he actually passed the ball really well at UNLV as well, but he jumping those passing lanes, and I know it's just Viterbo, but he did that a couple times in a row in that first half and then made a play defensively, and that's what hopefully he will be able to do, because really, over the past couple of years, Iowa State hasn't been aggressive defensively, and DeJon Jones has a length at that spot where he can cause some disruption that guys like a Chris Allen wasn't long enough to do that, a Scotty Christopherson couldn't do that, Tyrus McGee couldn't do that, but he adds another dimension there.
Yeah, no, I like what I've seen from him.
He's going to be good. He's going to play a lot and very comfortable, but he gives another option where I think he's the better defender and is potentially a really, really good defender if he wants to be, more so than like a Matt Thomas who can come in and be that instant offense.
Note I took was on Sherron Dorsey Walker. I challenged him, and I think a lot of people did, before that exhibition without Matt Thomas out there to step up. He did. He scored in double figures, 17, something like that for SDW. Although defensively he did not look good in that second half.
Yeah, but at that point the game
I get it.
What it was.
I think he took a step forward. As far as, because you don't bring Sherron Dorsey Walker into the game for defense. You bring him in there for instant offense. But I still, what do you think about that and that young man? I mean, how much time do you see him playing this year?
Hard to say. He's going to play early, and it's up to him those first two games how much he's going to play the rest of the way. But I thought his jump shot looked very good.
Yeah.
Very smooth, very confident.
Confident's a good word,
And if he can continue that, he's going to find a role somewhere. He can be 11th, the 10th or 11th guy and play. You can do that. But his at 6'4", maybe even 6'5", he shot the ball well and with confidence had good lift on his jump shot. So I thought he played well. I mean, defensively and rebounding, you never know with him. But he's going to be more of your Tyrus McGee type. Come in, make a couple shots, and provide a spark that way.
Do you remember last year a story that went on and on was the lack of confidence it looked like Matt Thomas had. It looked like he was in his own head for much of the season, although he went on to have what was statistically a pretty good freshman campaign. I don't know what Clayton Custer is going to do this year, but I do not see a lack of confidence in Clayton Custer. Freshman out there looked like a junior playing from a confidence standpoint. That's encouraging for your backup point guard.
Fred Hoiberg has consistently compared him to Monte last year at this point, and you can see it. Just the confidence with the ball, the ability to run a team. And let's face it, Clayton Custer's not going to get the attention of a defense. So they're going to leave him open. And if he can make a shot, he'll fill in that backup role very capably. I thought Monte looked great.
Yeah.
A bigger, more confident, taking to the basket, just in charge of the offense. That's what you wanted to see. I have no questions with that point guard spot. I think both those guys will do a fine job.
Daniel Adozie was intriguing. Now, Daniel Dozy playing against the Viterbo is kind of like, just a regular adult going and playing against Viterbo.
That's what I thought when I saw
it. So you can't take too much out of it. But he does look – that's a guy – I feel like you can get a few minutes from him this year. I don't think he's as much of a liability out there offensively as he once was just due to the confidence.
And at times last year, he didn't know where he was going defensively either.
Yeah,
he would just run into people and see what happens. But he's a big guy who runs really well.
Yeah.
I think that shocked me.
He brings energy.
He really brought a spark. And when you do that, if he can rebound, be a tough guy, and just do some of the dirty work, he's never going to be hitting. Like, he hit that bank shot, and I laughed because he will not take another one of those.
No.
Like that 14-footer.
He kind of reminds me just the way he frantically plays the game, like Calvin Godfrey a little bit, except he's clearly much bigger. Calvin Godfrey wasn't exactly skilled, but Dozy's probably a little less skilled than Calvin. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
He's frantic every minute he's out there.
Come in there and cause chaos.
Yes.
That's really foul people if you want to.
Yes.
Like, he can foul people.
It doesn't
now.
Matter.
It doesn't matter. He's got people behind him. So come in, be aggressive, be an enforcer, rebound the ball, and see what you can do. Calvin Godfrey, by the way, is alive and well at Memphis.
He's at Memphis now?
Yeah.
Wait a second. So he went JUCO, and then he went somewhere else.
JUCO to Southern.
Southern, which is on Iowa State's schedule this year.
Now to Memphis. He's
finally a
senior.
His fifth-year guy?
This is his last year. He will play a lot for Memphis. So you'll see him on TV.
Wow. Yep. I can't wait to watch him play. I loved Calvin Godfrey.
He had his issues.
Did you hear Abdul Massey on the podcast last year? Like, what is Melvin Edgem's career be if Calvin Godfrey's there?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. They were the same year.
Yeah. Well, and Matt's point, not that Melvin Ejim is going to end up sucking, but it was more like he's got competition and not going to get all those early minutes that he did. I thought that was –
he's forgot
at
about
Memphis
that
because
Melvin seems about 30.
Yeah.
But they, so does they Calvin came, Godfrey. They came the same year.
Calvin Godfrey seems like he's 30 as well.
What a team. They had the Big Silky at the five, that team.
Big Silky. Is he still playing in Europe?
I hope so.
I see him tweeting all the time. He's a tweeting machine. Here's a note I made. Brent Bloom has larger arms than the Greek kid.
You know, I watched the replay. I didn't get to see him in person.
Yeah.
It's
a spectacle.
I was really pleasantly surprised with how well he moved. Normally at 7'1", when you're that young, you're kind of like a camel learning how to walk.
Yeah.
Like you're just all over. He moves really well. His feet are pretty quick for a big guy. I came in thinking, okay, this guy's not going to play. I don't know. At that height, with his length, yeah, he doesn't have any size to him, but he looked skilled and agile enough to be a contributor while McKay's out. He was one of my positives for that game. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I thought he acclimated himself well. It's only Viterbo, but you can tell when a big guy can move and when they can't. He can move.
Yeah, and he's not afraid of the situation. He did not look you know, the playing in Hilton Coliseum did not look too big for him.
Yeah, and he's not going to be a big scorer, but if he can come in and just be a guy to put his arms up.
Like 5 to 10 minutes a game.
Just put your arms up and cause problems on defense. I think he's going to play a little bit in the non-conference.
Okay, last note that I took was about George Niang's.
I have big arms, by the way. So
you do. Python.
That's a compliment.
George Niang's dunk. Made it look damn easy.
Didn't he miss
a dunk,
though?
All rightfully talked about his body transformation. I'm frankly sick of the story already, well, and I know it's going to keep coming all year long, every broadcast. But he really did show it on Friday night. I thought just with that dunk, how easy it was for him and how much lighter he is. And I want to end the body transformation story here because our listeners are sick of it. But did you pick up on that too?
It was not only that. It was that first move he made, scored Iowa State's first basket, where he posted, kicked it back out, and reposted. And it was really nifty, quicker than he was at all last year. I think that's more of an impact than him dunking. He's never going to dunk.
No,
so he had the dunk.
But I think
the quick feet.
The whole thought of George Niang dunking the last couple of years is like kind of a farce. You know what I mean? Like you didn't expect it.
He had a
but
little.
But now, like a. You know, that was pretty easy for him.
He had a little extra giddy-up in his step. And I think, you know, a couple years in the weight room will do that. And he lost some of that body fat. And also, I thought his jump shot looked much more confident. And that, more than anything, is why this offense could be better. They averaged 83 last year. I think they could go higher. One, that they might play a little faster. But if he shot 32% from three.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas shot 34. I think both those guys can be around 40, realistically. And so if you do that, that's an extra,
if
you know.
If Morris sticks around where he was.
Yeah, it's all those guys.
That'll be hard.
And Melvin Ejim made a lot of threes, but he only shot around 34%.
Custer can hit 40% of his three-point
shots. They're going to make more threes than they did last year. Yeah. I can confidently say that.
Dorsey Walker should be around the 40% range.
So the offense could actually uptick just a tinge. It's tough to be any higher than 83. But his three-point game, if he adds that to the arsenal, there's not much you can do to stop that guy.
All right, let's go to Twitter. And took some questions from Iowa State basketball fans, and then we'll get to our predictions for the 2014-15 season. We'll talk Big 12 basketball at that point in time as well. Jonathan, who has to stay healthy for the Cyclones to be successful this year? That's a loaded question. George Niang, for one. Monte Morris, too. You know, the cast, I think... To be successful, well, Jonathan, what do you consider successful? Is a Final Four successful? Is an NCAA tournament? I think for them to make a deep run, Bryce DeJean-Jones is going to be the key. The non-obvious key. They've got to have Niang. They've got to have Morris. But I think that guy is going to be crucial down the stretch.
Well, I was thinking about this today. If somebody breaks a foot, who do you not want to break a foot? And obviously it's Niang.
Niang's
the first answer. Because He can play every position on the floor.
Yes.
He could play point guard if they needed him to.
Yes.
He's the most valuable
player. What did Fred
say?
Like, that, like 75% of the offense was running through him at that point when he got hurt
last year? He makes everything else go. I agree with you. Monte Morris is second on that pecking order because I think Custer would be fine, but I'd rather have Monte there than Custer.
Who would be the third then? Bryce DeJean?
I would say Jameel McKay. Because
really?
I think he makes...
Interesting.
He transforms this team from what they have in the last 2 years to what they could be this year. I mean, the biggest difference between the last 2 years, and they were very good years, you know, you get to the second round the 1 year and you make the Sweet 16, but how does Iowa State take that next step? And it's improving defensively, and that comes from Jameel McKay. The last five NCAA champions finished in the top 13 in defensive efficiency. Last year, Iowa State was 72nd. They have to be better defensively.
That's a good point.
And that comes from Jameel McKay. He's the biggest. I thought Travis Hines wrote a great part in the Ames Tribune preview. He said the first eight games are just a preamble to the rest of the way. Because once McKay comes on, that changes the entire complexion of the team.
Did you see Rob Gray's thing with Jay Billis earlier this week?
I did not.
Okay. Rob talked to Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg, and that was what they really harped on too, was – the difference between Iowa State taking that next step and being a national title contender was the defense.
It's what it is.
You make a good point. I think DeJean Jones is important
and
defensively as well.
But I believe they have other guys at his spot.
Abdul Nader could potentially step in. Not do the same things, but that type of
length
guy.
Defensively, yeah. And then Matt Thomas could play the two if he needed to.
Yeah, you may have talked me out of my position. But I think DeJean Jones, though, I think he's more dynamic of a scorer than what people think at this point. I think in a month, we may have a different – just based off of what we've seen DeJean Jones be able to do. I think he's got – he is Big 12 player, newcomer of the year potential.
Totally agree. It's just McKay will do something that – nobody else on the roster can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a thing of need here.
Yeah, it's kind of like your most valuable player versus your best player.
I don't,
deal.
You know,
yeah.
If McKay could average 8 points a game and still be the third most valuable member of this team just because of his defensive presence.
Listen to the conversation we're having and compare it to the conversations we used to have 6-7 years ago.
I know.
This is fun. Jared, excuse me. Have we reached a point in the basketball program's development where it's Big 12 title or bust, or are we a year from that?
I don't know what you define bust. Like, it's a failure.
If you get second in Big 12, I don't think that's a bust.
I would less talk about the Big 12. Although the NCAA tournaments are a crapshoot.
That's a total toss-up. Who do you get in your bracket? Who's hot?
Yeah. But, no, I think at this rate, if Iowa State's not – in the top four of the Big 12 and not in the Sweet 16, I consider that not a failure, but a disappointment. I think this team can be that good.
Yeah,
it's hard to
I
say
agree.
Final Four, but really, for the first time entering a season, Iowa State has all the pieces to make a run. And you look at the grand scheme of college basketball. Now, your Arizonas and your Kentuckys and your Dukes and your Kansases probably have a shade more talent, but 1 through 8, 9, I think Iowa State's roster can match up favorably with just about anybody. And that's what it takes to get there.
Yeah, I don't agree, Jared, where it's Big 12 title or bust. You gotta
They're not
Kentucky before you do
yet.
That, you need to win a Big 12
yeah,
title.
Right.
I think that's the case for Kansas.
That's true too. Yeah. Get over that hump first.
Because they won the Big 12 tournament last year, but that's different.
Different.
That's completely different.
That's 3 days of catching a hot streak.
Yeah. And you had a favorable matchup with Baylor in the championship, I thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
Although they were playing some really solid basketball.
But with Kansas's questions at the point guard spot, it's not out of the realm of possibility this year.
No, and we'll get to that later on in predictions. Ben writes, will Monte Morris be a second closer along with Niang, or will it be another? I don't think Monte Morris has to be. When you've got Niang and my guy, Bryce DeJean Jones, I think he can be. But I don't think that's his role on the basketball team. His role on the team is to make life easier on the scorers, Niang and Bryce DeJean Jones.
So it's mid-November right now.
Yeah.
This could change. But prior to the first game, if I have a last-second shot, who I want the ball with, Niang's one. I think DeJean Jones is two.
Yeah.
And then I put, I want Naz shooting the ball, obviously, but he's not going to have the
ball. We haven't even talked about Naz.
And then Nader can supposedly make tough shots. We haven't seen him yet.
I think Matt Thomas can be that type of a player.
But DeJon Jones has the ability to create his own shot that DeAndre Kane could. So I would be more comfortable with him with the ball probably than Monte at this point just because of the size differential, mm-hmm. where DeJon Jones could use his physicality to get an open look. But you've got options, man. That's the fun part.
Oh, our boy, Ted Flint. I've been asked if I gonna do shots per 3-point made for basketball season. You may have had a shot when you typed this, Ted. If I agree, will my liver see April?
No. Don't do it, Ted.
Quick to answer. Ted, jump, get off the wagon, man. I worry. I love Ted. I love him. I worry about him, though. Because, I mean, it seems like the Iowa State athletics trigger his drinking. And that's a scary thing if you consider history. You know,
it's been a rough couple decades.
Ted, you heard Bloom's statistics about the 3-point shooting earlier. I'd hold off on that.
They make over 9, potentially 10 a game. Now, can you handle 10 shots in 2 hours?
I would drink a beer, but I wouldn't not drink a beer, but a drink
a pull,
of beer.
Do a pull
yeah,
of beer.
Do a big chug of Busch Light.
Yeah, let's do that first, Ted.
But I think the shot might be a little bit irresponsible.
Yeah.
I don't want
Especially
Ted to die.
Ted on a weeknight. You know,
it's an 8 p.m. tip on a Monday.
Yeah. Georgia State coming to town. You know, let's wait. Let's do the pull of beer first, and then we'll see how the season goes.
And yeah. Because my thing is, we got to have Ted around to fight off the Hawk trolls.
Yeah, he fights the Hawk trolls. He's the first line of defense.
He's the man.
You know, you play Clash of Clans, and you got to go to the pool.
Yeah, I was just thinking of
he's
Ted.
He's the first guy you sent in there, man.
Of Clash of Clans.
Yeah, you send Ted in there. Yeah. He does the dirty work.
Ted. I just called you Fred, Ted. That's a compliment. He would be like the barbarian that you send just to see where the bombs are.
That's right.
Hey, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
Absolutely.
On behalf of the Cyclone Nation, Ted is the Hawk Troll fighter. Tony, will we see any pressure defense from the team with as deep as we are?
Yes.
Any press at all, or will it look similar to last year? Bloom already answered the question.
They'll see pressure, all kinds of pressure. Saw a little trap on Friday, see some of that. You might even go full court. Fred hasn't done it really, but they haven't had the bodies to do it. That's the biggest step for Iowa State this year, is McKay, and the depth allows them to be a lot more aggressive defensively, and hopefully that'll help out those efficiency numbers.
Speaking of Hawk trolls, we got a Hawk troll just wanting to fire Paul Rhodes. I'm not even going to acknowledge it. Russell says over under on ISU conference wins, and he placed it at 13. That's a good segue into what we want to do next.
Great
over
under.
That is a great over under. We'll get to it, Russell, because right now with the season beginning on Friday, we're going to go game by game and make our predictions. So I've got the schedule in front of me. This is the exclusive Williams/Bloom podcast
prediction.
We've done this a lot over the years. I think we're usually pretty spot on.
Pretty close.
Yeah. We're usually, you know, I think it's been hard to be close on Iowa State the last few years because they've overachieved.
They have, but I think each year we predicted them to make the tournament. They have.
Yes, absolutely. Let's start with Oakland, Percy Gibson's new home.
And he's not playing.
Correct. He's going to be on the bench. But it's good to see Percy find a home. Percy! I like Iowa State. Do you have an objection with Iowa State winning on
Friday
against
100.
Oakland?
It's a fast-tempo Oakland team. Could see 100 on Friday.
Okay. Georgia State. This is, to me, I'm coming up with a column later on in the week, a non-conference basketball preview, a preview of the schedule. I've got this, Bloom, as the second toughest game in the non-conference. Based off of who's not there, it's early in the year. Guys are still going to be jealous.
Iowa first.
Iowa's number one.
Okay.
I've got Georgia State number two. Now, I had considered the other games that were in the conversation, Arkansas, but I think Georgia State's better than Arkansas, in my opinion. And you have to factor who's not there without Matt Thomas and Abdul Nader. That's why I put Georgia State up ahead of that game. You've got the Alabama-Arizona State/Maryland. Again, same scenario. Take those two out of the lineup. I think Georgia State is tougher. South Carolina, they're not very good. Drake, neutral four. I've got this as the second toughest non-conference game.
You can make. I think that's fair. I think they're right. It's right on par with Arkansas and potentially Maryland.
Okay, them, but Iowa State will have the other two players right. for those games. That's is true. My point. That's why true. I think this is the second toughest game.
And it isn't Hilton. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Iowa State has not lost to a team not named Kansas in the last 3 years at Hilton. Is that right? I think that's right. They've been really good at Hilton.
No, I get it. I don't think they'll lose. No, I got them penciled in here.
It's a
win.
The Hunter kid, good game. The coach's son.
He's
an NBA guy.
Will he go pro after his junior?
I think he will.
I think so too.
He will. I mean, he's a top 25 kid at 6'6" shooting guard. I mean, this is where DeJon Jones comes in.
Yeah,
because he gives you that length at the two guard to guard that type of guy. But it's a good game. I do think I would say it's the victor there, but it's a
10-point game or less.
You know, I was just talking with actually my brother. He's who likes the gambling lines. Where would you put that?
That line right now?
Yeah.
Without seeing any other games?
Yeah.
I would have Iowa State as a what do I think the line would be or what would
See,
I put it at?
And that's where I'm going.
What would I put it at? I would put Iowa State as like a 12-point favorite.
Okay.
What do I think it will or that's where I think it will be. I would put it more like 6-7-ish.
And that's my direct line of thinking. Yeah. I think it'll be a double-digit line, but that's going to be throws and stuff make it weird at the end. But that has all the potential to be very, very close.
If you really want to make money gambling, and I think that this is true over the last 20 years probably, Iowa State is always a really good bet against low major opponents in Hilton Coliseum. They tend to cover those games. I mean, like I'm talking about Lamar, UMKC, Southern.
When you're like 17, 20 points, yeah. Like it gets nerve-wracking there.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
But especially this year with the depth that they have, you can't make a line big enough for some of those.
No, but Georgia State has the athleticism to hang. And that scares you because that means...
And they have continuity. The thing about Georgia State, there's not a lot of name recognition because they got upset in their conference tournament last year. They would have been in the tournament, and I think they could have made some noise had they not had a March Madness moment go against them.
It's a game you got to take care of the ball and make shots, and I think Iowa State will, but at this point, they're not going to catch Iowa State off guard.
Correct.
You know, this isn't going to be like you always see somebody get knocked off that they weren't supposed to because they didn't take them seriously. They've got Iowa State's full attention. And it's on ESPN2, which helps.
Yeah. And I know for a fact, too, just talking to some of the coaches, that when this schedule came out, when they, you know, the CBE whole thing happened and they knew they were going to get Georgia State, they had this game circled very early on. So, I'm talking like last May. They were already talking about Georgia State and how that might be the toughest game on their non-conference schedule. Yeah.
Should be at least entertaining on Monday.
Okay, we're going to give them a win. Alabama in Kansas City.
Alabama.
Crimson Tide guy?
Nah, they lost a bunch, and they won 13 games last year anyway. I just don't see it. They historically struggle to score. One of the lowest scoring Power 5 teams in college basketball. And if Iowa State gets to 70, I think they handle the Tide. And they didn't get to 70 just one time last year. So I think this game could be a double-digit victory.
For our viewers, not viewers, they're listeners, I'm going to go and pull up my Blue Ribbon yearbook here, and I'm just going to give their predictions on the SEC because I think there's a lot of SEC questions, clearly. You'll have to give me a second. I should have been a little bit more prepared here. But Iowa State, it's kind of weird, Brent, with three SEC schools on the schedule.
Yeah.
Probably see a lot of that going forward, though, the whole scheduling alliance deal. Or is that just football?
I think it's just football. But
there seems to be a relationship between the two leagues, so we'll see how that. The Blue Ribbon yearbook has Arkansas at fourth in the SEC. So if that's the case, that's a tournament team, the Razorbacks.
That's a fun game.
Dude, that's got to be a fast-paced game.
Yep, first one, 110.
The depth will come into factor on that night. The Arkansas game, Thursday, December 4th is the date, and that'll be a 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. tip. That would be on ESPN2. Alabama picked 12th in the SEC, and South Carolina picked 13th. So you've got two pretty bad, or not bad, but you know, pretty below average high major programs there. Okay, second game in the CBE in Kansas City, you've got either Arizona State or Maryland. I'd take Maryland probably.
I'd actually pretty comfortable taking Maryland.
Yeah, because didn't Arizona State lost a kid who
they lost? They lost their top three scorers.
Yeah,
they lost Carson, who's the point guard. Now he's in China. He declared early for the NBA draft. And if you're a 5'10 point guard, you better make damn sure you're a first round pick. He's now in China. And then they lost the 7'1" guy. I forget his name.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Tarzewski. No, that's the Arizona kid.
Maryland.
But Maryland's got Des Wells back, who's been there for like 8 years, it feels like. They've got a couple stretch guys. So they got Smotrich, who used to play at Michigan, and they've got Lehman, who's another 6'9 kid who can shoot. They're dangerous if they're making shots. And Des Wells is a driver, big physical 6'5 kid. They don't have a whole lot in the post, but that could be a fun game if it's the final in Kansas City.
How weird is it that Maryland's in the Big Ten in basketball? And football doesn't really bother me.
I keep thinking they're in the
Yeah,
ACC
I just went
still.
To look them up and what they were projected at, and I went straight to the ACC. They are projected to be 10th out of 14 in the Big Ten. That's a good league.
It's a good league. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished higher. Their question is in the post and at the point guard spot. And they're solid defensively. Mark Turgeon, remember, he's the old A&M coach.
Yeah, he's good.
He's still there. He's okay. He's a good defensive mind, but that's another game where if I was saying get to 75 points, I think they can win.
For the record, Minnesota, who Iowa State just defeated really handily in that secret scrimmage. They're picked 7th in the Big Ten Conference. All right, so we have Iowa State starting off 4-0. I'm going to give them a win against Lamar. Any objection? I'm going to give them a win in Hilton Coliseum against Arkansas. That's a really fun basketball game. Remember Mike Anderson, former Missouri head coach. Remember the 40 minutes of hell that they used to play down there? You're going to see that on that would be, again, the 4th of December.
If that game was in Arkansas, I think I would pick the Razorbacks. They're a talented
team. Probably
would,
too.
They've got a bunch of athletes that run around and cause problems, but it being in Hilton, it's a Monte Morris-type game. He's going to need some help, though, not turn the ball over, because they can cause problems if they got you up and running up and down and turn it over.
UMKC win there Friday, December 12th at Iowa for the Cy-Hawk Series, 7 p.m. tick, Big Ten Network.
I don't know. Right now, I'd say that's a loss.
Really?
As it pains me.
Why?
Without McKay.
Well, pardon my French, but that's kind of a bitch for that game. You'd like to have him.
Absolutely. I mean, Iowa, I know we gave them a hard time the way they finished. That's still a potentially top 25 team.
They're ranked top 25 right now.
They're right at 25.
They're picked 8th by Blue Ribbon in the Big Ten.
I don't necessarily care for the kid, but Aaron White's a good player. And Olashane is a good player. Woodbury is a serviceable big guy. Woodbury could be an NBA guy.
Can you really see George Niang letting that team lose based off of his relationship with the University of Iowa?
I understand that, but it's still over there, and weird stuff can happen. Remember 2 years ago when they went over there?
That was awful.
Buried?
This is a different team, though.
I flip a coin, though, with that one. I'm going to give them a loss. I'm sorry. It pains me.
I'll give them the win.
Okay.
I want to give them the win. But now we have to have a consensus pick here, though, because this is our projection. So you want to give them a loss? If you're going to overrule me, I'll let you overrule me. You want to be the guy who overrules me on this one?
Flip a coin.
Let's flip a coin.
Flip a coin.
Do we have a coin somewhere? Kind of threw this one at me. Who has change just lying around in their office?
Peter Jock, unless he rides a moped before the game, he's a good player.
Why is he not suspended?
I don't know.
I don't understand that. Why has nobody reported on this? I don't understand how he doesn't miss a game or something.
He went to jail for a week.
I know, but that's my point. I mean, Iowa State had – it's in Iowa State's policy where if you do this, then you're gone for X amount of the season. The coach doesn't even make the decision. I don't understand how he's not missing a game. But whatever. That's beside the point. I have a coin here. Heads, Iowa State wins. Tails, Iowa State loses.
Fair.
There you go. Heads. Clones beat Iowa. Okay.
I'd be fine with it.
This is great journalism right here.
That's a game, though, where if that spreads more than 3 either way, I'll be shocked.
Southern.
W.
Drake.
W. They'll be better. They're still going to be bad.
They need to let that kid who won the truck play. Mississippi Valley State on the dreaded, ridiculous New Year's Eve game.
Well, there won't be a bowl game to watch. Well, there will be a bowl game. I take that back. That's the national semifinal.
So Rob Gray will be working that game.
Yeah, that's the Final Four for college football.
For CycloneFanatic.com. Sorry, Rob. I know you're listening.
TCU versus Baylor.
Let's watch down here in my basement. Get a little rowdy that night.
Watch a little Mississippi Valley State on the...
Yeah. A little Cyclones TV Cyclones action.
Oh, man. I think it's the 31st for those games. I think it
why is. Don't they... I don't understand why Cyclones TV, and if since you're affiliated with them and can't comment, you don't have to. But why do they not have real like TV broadcast crews for these games?
It's not as easy as it sounds.
But my whole thing is it would just bring so much more to the broadcast. To have like you and whoever.
Well, because you got to get a separate – because then you need a truck and you need a – I don't know.
I get it.
I'm not quite qualified to answer that. But
so financially it just would require a lot more.
It requires a lot more.
But they do it like when – what's the difference between that and like when Walters does those Media Day specials? Those are live. I mean –
yeah, but they don't – so, I mean, they probably could pull
it
off.
Is it all because of the editing and, like, the graphics and all that
graphics.
Stuff?
You need the graphics. Like, it's more than just
– yeah, just
put a
camera.
But they do some of that now with them. I just
think it would add to the product.
My big thing is – and I've told the Cyclones TV folks this – is that I like when my people can comment on a replay and they know the replay's on there.
Yeah.
Like, right now, John and Eric can't because they're doing it for radio.
Yeah.
But the other part is,
and you
John,
call a game differently.
Yeah,
for TV.
John and Eric are really good, by the way, though too. So I don't, you know, that's having them on the TV simulcast is great, but it is a little bit different feel from radio to TV. It might help. I think it's something that they will look into in the future.
Well, I know that other schools do it, so I think it would enhance the. It's a great product now. I think it would enhance a very good product.
If they had unlimited financial resources for Cyclones TV, I think they would do that. Where they could get the truck and the personnel and multiple cameras. Like right now, they're working off the. But I don't know if people realize this. Most of their video feed for those games is what's running on the video board in Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not their own stuff. So they're kind of handcuffed of what they can show.
Yeah.
So even if the TV person's talking about Jamil McKay. While on a traditional broadcast, then your TV guy, your camera guy can lock in on McKay while they tell the story. They have no control over that.
Yeah.
So they're at the mercy of the video board just to get into the particulars. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
No, I think it'd be neat. South Carolina, win.
Yeah, Frank Martin.
2, 3, 4, remember five, him? 6, 7, 8. Yeah, I do. I refuse to look him in the eye.
Are you going to Brooklyn?
Thinking about it. I haven't made a decision yet. It might be like my last hurrah before Little Williams comes.
Be a fun trip.
No, I think I might. I really actually, you know how I used to be scared to death of New York? I've really embraced it.
Oh, yeah, because you went...
I did that, and then I went to the Pinstripe Bowl, and then I went last year for the Sweet 16. The Sweet 16 trip, Brent, was, I think, the most fun I've ever had in 48 hours. Was it work-related?
It was a whirlwind.
I had so much fun, even though they lost. Like that to me was just all my friends were there.
Except thanks,
media people.
I wasn't there.
I don't know. I just really, really enjoyed it. I finally felt comfortable there. I wasn't intimidated.
Did you do the subways and everything?
No, I don't. I walked. But we had a really cool hotel. It was right next to Madison Square Garden. If you're at the garden,
right there.
It's like a 15-minute walk to Times Square. Where else do you really need to go?
Right. You're right.
You know what I mean?
And you ran into Bill Cosby.
And I met Bill Cosby.
Which is sweet.
Great, great weekend. All right, let's go into Big 12 basketball. We have Iowa State at 12-0. If Iowa State's at 12-0 through the non-con, what are they ranked?
Although I have them 11-1. But you understand what you're saying. What are they ranked at that point?
Yeah.
Top 10 for sure. Maybe top 5.
Okay. Oklahoma State. That's a win.
Home?
Yep.
Yeah.
At West Virginia.
Was just thinking about this on the way over.
It's where dreams go to die. It's like
I don't like that place at all. What they did to Iowa State last year helps and hurts. And there's some revenge there. The reports out of Morgantown is they're going to be better than they look on paper. Because Staten's great, but what else do they have? Their bigs are very big and athletic. And the question with him is, who's the other scorer? Now that those other guys are gone, like Henderson's gone and the other kid who transferred. But if they can score, they could be okay. Down there, it makes me nervous. I'll say a loss.
I'll go with a loss, too. They've got to lose at some point. At Baylor is the next game, and that is on Wednesday, January 14th. That's a win.
Yeah, I don't like Scott Drew's team this year. They lost their size. Now they're just Kenny Cherry and a bunch of 6'8 guys.
Although Scott Drew will coach them up. They'll probably be better than everybody believes. He'll get the most out of those guys.
Said that with a straight face. Impressive.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's my boy. I lost my pencil. Hold on. So that's a win.
Calling that a dub. So where are they now?
They're 14-1.
Now we're entering the top five.
14-1, and Kansas comes to town.
Oh,
ruh-roh! Dun dun dun.
So, I delayed my honeymoon, Chris, and I'm...
What do you mean you delayed your
honeymoon? I didn't want to do it right after the wedding, just because...
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't want to take a honeymoon...
Don't tell me this is when you're going.
I will be in Dominican Republic for the Kansas game.
Well, can you watch it?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be on TV.
They have TV down at the Dominican?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, down in there in...
Todd Ashby help you out?
He did.
Good.
Yeah.
My guy.
Cyclone guy.
Yeah.
Fantastic help.
The travel agent of the year.
He's great. Like, seriously, I don't even think is he a sponsor?
No.
Well, he should be.
No, he's not. He's just a good friend.
He's a great
friend of me
guy.
And my wife. We went to Mexico, and he did the whole trip for us. You don't have to worry about a thing.
Oh, my goodness.
And it doesn't cost you anymore.
No, it's the same price that we found out through the actual resorts, and actually cheaper.
Yeah,
what you can get.
Because they work with these agents, and then a lot of times, like if they know you're going through the agent, they'll have something like waiting for you. Like we had a bottle of bubbly when we got down there. You know what I'm saying?
So anyway, I'll be watching that game in the Dominican with some free alcohol.
Nice, good for you.
But yeah, that's at home. It's
yeah,
a win.
Win 15-1.
Seriously, if they go 15-1 and they beat Kansas on national TV, now you're talking like top three in the country at that rate. Last time Iowa State was top five was December 96.
Kansas State is up next at home.
Win at home.
16-1. At Texas Tech, that's a win.
Tubby's going to be awful this year.
Texas at home, Big Monday.
Chalk it up.
TCU at home. Okay, so here's your scenario. 12-0, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 19-1.
Then it gets a little more difficult, I believe.
Yeah, and then you got to go to Kansas.
And that's a loss.
I would agree. I would give them a loss.
And by that point, see, I like getting Kansas early in the conference at home. Because if they can get – once Oubre and Alexander get going and their point guard situation gets figured out, they're going to be a lot better.
They're a whole different team down in Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament.
Definitely.
They
might – you know, they play – I think they play Kentucky early.
Yeah.
They could lose by 15.
Yeah.
And then people go, oh, what happened to Kansas? Just wait. Give them some time.
Similar last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a much better team in February than they were in November. Texas Tech at home win. That's your 20 win. So we have them starting 20-2. This is insane.
But
is it insane or are we being homers or are we being realistic here?
Like I said earlier.
I'm trying to give these people a good quality podcast.
They have lost at home, they being Iowa State, to just Kansas the last 2 years. So you wouldn't guess that they lose anybody else. I mean, Texas could give them a run at home. Absolutely. But if I had to flip a coin... I'm taking Iowa State at home.
At Oklahoma, there's your loss.
That's tough.
That's a loss. West Virginia at home, win. At Oklahoma State, win.
I don't like that Oklahoma State team.
No, neither do I. Not at all. At Texas, there's your loss.
That's a loss.
Baylor at home, win. At Kansas State, there's your loss.
It's another tough game.
I don't think they beat Kansas State.
I'll agree with you there.
Kansas State has better talent than people think, in my opinion. Bruce Weber is the wild card.
Yeah, but they're tough. I mean, that's a tough team still.
Yeah, I know, really, and I think physical. They've gotten better. That kid from Georgetown is supposedly going to be really good.
I am a fan of Marcus Foster.
Would you take Foster or Staten? Start your team.
Oh, man.
I can give you one of those two. You're starting a program.
Foster.
I said that, too. Hines told me he'd take Staten.
If I I just...
You can't go wrong. There's not a wrong answer there.
I think Foster does more of the...
I would take Foster. Hines and I were arguing about it.
That's a good argument to have. I'd take Niang over both of them.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Oklahoma at home, win. At TCU, win. So...
That's sneaky.
At TCU is?
Sneaky. I'm going to say it's a win, but it's sneaky. Last game of the year?
Yeah.
Sneaky.
20-2, 3-4. So we have them at 4 losses. 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 26-4. Brent, I feel like we've really crossed the line tonight with the 26-4 prediction.
Too much?
But that just seems to me, maybe I've just covered Iowa State for too long, but that seems insane to me.
I not with this team.
Should we give them the loss to Iowa?
You could. I'd be fine with that.
I think they're better than Iowa, though.
With McKay, they are.
So you think without McKay, they're not? Or you?
I just think that
neutral floor.
Neutral floor, I think Iowa State's better. But that without McKay, with their size, that's a tough game.
Yeah, no, I know it is. I respect the toughness of the game.
Like if Niang gets in foul trouble or something.
All right, we'll switch that.
I think that's a safe bet.
We'll switch that 25-5.
And 14-4?
14-4. 14-4 gets you second in the league? Second or third?
At least, yeah. Kansas won it last year with 14-4, I think. Or were they 15-3?
Yeah, I don't even know.
They're right there. It's one of the two.
I think they had 4 losses last
year.
They
lost to West Virginia late.
I like Iowa State more than I like Texas this year.
I'm with you.
And I think Oklahoma is going to be good but not great.
Agreed.
So they're
going to beat people at home.
I've got Kansas, Iowa State, Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma over Texas.
And you know what? Oklahoma could jump up the way they shoot it. They could jump up and beat anybody.
Yeah.
They're a lot like Fred's teams. I mean, Fred's team last year even. Where if they're making 13 threes, they're going to beat people.
Mm-hmm.
If they shoot it like they did against North Dakota State when they lost, they're not. Because Spangler's a decent enough rebounder. They've got okay size. But with those shooters, with Heald and the point guard, I mean, all those guys, they all can shoot. So that's a dangerous team. They'll beat some people.
Well, and Lon Kruger is their coach.
He's a good coach.
Great coach.
They got dominated.
Not a good coach, a great coach.
They got dominated by Baylor in the Big 12, though, because of size. They just out-jumped him.
Yeah, Texas will own them.
Texas, that's where McKay comes in again, right? Like a team against Texas. If they're going to throw three big guys out there, he's going to help them.
And Iowa State doesn't get Texas for the first time until late January.
That's big.
So McKay's kind of gotten in the mix a little bit.
25-5 is not out of line.
Yeah, I think we're about right on. And even if they beat Iowa and would slip up somewhere else in the non-conference – you know, an 11-1 non-conference, I think, is very realistic.
25-5.
You're what, a 2 seed?
Is a 2 or 3 seed.
Yeah.
26-4 is probably a for sure 2 seed. Borderline 1, depending on...
If you win the Big 12 tournament.
Depending on how the rest of the nation goes. I think Kentucky could go this year with 1 or 2 losses. I think Arizona could only have a couple.
I think Duke.
Wisconsin.
I really like Duke this year.
Duke's young, but they're
Coach K, man.
I know, but
it's my guy. Love Coach K.
I know young guys have had a lot of success all over the country.
They've never been groomed by Coach Krzyzewski.
If we're relying on Okafor, who is great, and the kid from Minneapolis, the point guard.
What's his name? Yeah. But they still got the Quinn kid, too.
I don't like him. He's just a guy to me.
He's just a guy to you?
No, yeah, he's
kind of a...
He's Nadir Tharp.
Ooh.
I just don't think he's
– I think
everyone's
I like
talking
Duke.
Quinn Cook. And I don't – Quinn Cook does not get me over the hump.
I like Duke. Coach Krzyzewski wins it this year, rides off into the sunset. Baby.
I disagree. They don't have the
– Hey, Bloom, you know, anybody can go on here and be like, oh, Kentucky, that's my pick.
You know what
Come
my
on,
pick is?
Grow a pair.
Arizona.
That's who Hines picked.
Well, then I'll take – he didn't pick Wisconsin?
No. Because he's trying not to be a homer.
How did Hines not pick Wisconsin?
He's trying to not to be a homer.
Wisconsin's going to be good.
I think Hines wanted to pick Wisconsin, but he refuses to be that guy.
I like Decker and Kaminsky.
So you're going to – Wisconsin's your team?
No, I'm picking Arizona.
You guys.
Well, that's – they're the best team. They got the most – well, Stanley Robinson. I'm going to Stanley, what is his name? Stanley Johnson.
Stud. So you like Kansas to win the Big 12?
I
like Kansas or Iowa State. I don't think Texas wins it.
I actually would go, if I right now, I'd say 35% Kansas, 35% Iowa State, 30% Texas.
You're putting Iowa State and Kansas right there.
I think they're on the same level. I really do.
Yeah, no,
you know, with their questions at point guard, that's – I don't know if Alexander and Oubre can replace Frank Mason at point guard. Like, he's not a great point guard. I know they got the new kid coming in.
Yeah, I like the new kid.
But handing the keys to a true freshman, that's dicey. Man, Perry Ellis is great. He's not
You know
Embiid.
Damn well he'll score like 90 against Iowa State. That's what he always does.
And Alexander and Oubre are obviously top 10 talents for a reason, but I like Iowa State's veterans there. I really do.
No, I do too. I just, you know, I'm glad that you're here with me, so I'm not like alone. The Cyclone, just Kool-Aid gusher.
It's not though. Like if you look at all the pieces from everybody else, Iowa State can match pretty much anybody except for like those Kentucky and Arizona. They're close though. They're really close. This could be something pretty cool.
All right, there you have it. As we wrap up the annual Williams and Bloom preseason podcast, we have Iowa State going 25-5, 14-4 in the Big 12 conference. Would you all be happy with that?
Final fours in Indianapolis this year.
That could be intriguing.
In case you need to get a hotel room.
Big 12 tournament begins on March 11th. Which is a Wednesday. Iowa State will likely be playing on Thursday if all things go well. Wraps up on March 14th. Good stuff, Bloom.
Can't wait.
We have bench warmers coming up Thursday night. Despite the bye week, we'll do a lot of hoops. I don't want to talk about football. Do you?
I'd rather not.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll get Abdul Massey and Billy Finley. We'll do our final chats with them before the season begins. Quick hit on Finley's team. You like it? It's a fun team to watch. I don't know how good they'll be, but I think they're a fun team to watch.
I watched them Sunday, and they're intriguing. They've got some question marks, especially up front. Fernstrom and Ricketts, their two true freshmen, are going to have to play a lot, and that would make me very, very
They're
going to
go four guards a lot.
They'll go four guards a lot, but you still need a big post to do something. It comes down to, can they shoot the ball better? The last couple of years, they've shot a lot, but they haven't made a lot. Like the Williamsons and the Buckleys. And Nikki Moody's got to have a good year if she can get her head on straight. But they got to shoot the ball much better. And I know that sounds obvious, but I mean, like from three, they got to get up around ahead of 38%. I do think it's an NCAA tournament team, but once again, it could come right down to the wire there for them.
There you go. You doing games for Fillingham?
I think I've got like four in February. Yeah.
They've never lost with you, have they?
They have.
Did they lose one last year?
I had Baylor.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
And Kim Mulkey pressed me, I think. No,
that sounds like borderline sex. But whatever.
I felt like it.
He's Brent Bloom, concluding our preseason podcast. So long, everybody. Thanks for listening.